Thanks, Josh. Hey, everybody. If I haven't met you, my name is Kent Woodrow. It is my joy to serve as a pastor here at Ironworks Church. If you're looking around and you're wondering, things seem a little thin. A lot of our guys have, we were just out on a men's retreat this past weekend. So if you were praying for that, thanks for that. I think we had a really sweet time together. So a lot of our guys are still there and they're on their way back. So just as a reminder, whenever we have like men's retreats, women's retreats, whenever we're doing anything as a church, for those of us who go, like that's great, that's good to be a part of that. But for those of us who stay, we can still be a part of it through prayer. It should never be just an assumption that things are going to go really well, have a slam dunk and so forth. We want to love each other well by praying for those who go. And by, lifting those up that we love, who are doing things like men's retreat, missions, whatever it is. We who stay want to be in prayer for those who go. So thank you for doing that this weekend, if that was you. Now, if you got your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Acts chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 32 through 43. We're coming back to our sermon series on identity as we explore the DNA of Ironworks Church together. We took a couple of weeks, last couple of weeks, to explore what prayer and fasting looks like and church leadership. As we've been thinking through, what are our values? What is our DNA? What makes us who we are as we are on mission to pursue Jesus' vision? And we believe Jesus has told us what his vision is. He wants us to go out and multiply disciples, leaders, churches throughout not just our area, but the whole world. And so the rest of the sermon series, even though we took a couple of weeks to talk about things that aren't explicitly in our mission and values, the rest of the sermons in this series are going to highlight one of our four missional pillars or our five core values. So we've already done preach Christ, love one another. Today we're doing serve the city. Our fourth missional pillar is plant churches. And then our five core values are gospel, orthodoxy, hospitality, engagement, and excellence. So like I said, today we're honing in on this third missional pillar to serve the city. What does the Bible say about that? Y'all, do you realize we Christians, we have a long, rich track record when it comes to serving our cities and the communities that we are a part of? Like you can just do a quick Google search and it'll pull up the lists, right? So for example, major humanitarian organizations that are out there in the world, some of them still hold to their Christian roots, but a lot of them, regardless, still came from a Christian foundation. Things like World Vision, Compassion International, Samaritan's Purse, International Justice Mission, the Salvation Army. Groups like the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association. Many of our leading hospitals, the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinic, the Johns Hopkins, just to name a few. And then all of our Ivy League universities now. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Columbia, UPenn, Brown, just to name some. Y'all, these are all just a sampling of the kind of impact that we Christians have had on our communities as we have gone out to seek to serve our cities. But you ever ask, what drives Christians to do this? Why? Why do this? And maybe just make it more personal, right? What about you? Why should you care about serving our city? Phoenixville in particular, but then wherever it is that you find yourself, why should you bother? See, all of that, that's part of what we're going to be looking at today in our passage. And so as Andrew comes forward and reads to us God's words, would you please stand out of respect if you're able and willing? These are the true words of the living God. He gives them to you because he loves his people. Andrew.
Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 32 through 43. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, and they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner.
Thanks, Andrew. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I pray that you would use this time to give us hearts like yours, Lord. Would you give us a heart for the flourishing of those who are around us, Lord? I ask, would you show us how to serve our city the way that you served us? Lord, more importantly, above everything, would you let us see you this morning? And then, Lord, would you use us for your honor and your glory right where you have us? We ask all this in Jesus' name, for his sake, because we love him and want to be more like him. In his name we pray. Amen. Go ahead, grab a seat. All right, so I want you just imagine with me, okay? Let's say tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning, for some reason, Ironworks Church, we just stopped existing. Maybe all of y'all decide to go with me to go visit Mozambique, where I grew up, and like we're just gone from our communities, all the places that we've lived at. Let me ask you, would your neighbors notice? Not just notice your empty house, but would they feel the absence of you, your relational presence? Would our different communities care? You see, here at Ironworks Church, we want to be the kind of church where if we were all to disappear suddenly tomorrow, our neighbors would feel it. They'd say something like, they'd say, "We miss Ironworks Church," in the same way that in our passage today, folks missed Tabitha. She left a gaping hole. And y'all, this isn't because we want to be noticed, right? We want to be essential to the flourishing, to the thriving of the communities where God has placed us. Here's why. Because we want those around us to experience Jesus through us. Through us, we want people to get a taste of what it will be like one day when Jesus comes back and fully establishes his reign and his rule, his good and thriving, his healing reign here on earth. And part of the way that we do this, well, we serve the city. We serve the city. So let's unpack that. What does it look like to serve the city? In that, we're going to talk about who we serve, how we serve, and why we serve. So that's the outline for where we're going today. Who we serve, how we serve, why we serve. Starting off with who we serve. All right, my drawing friends, as usual, it's good to have our kids here on the first Sunday of the month. So drawing friends, I'd love for you to draw for me somebody who can't walk. Draw someone who can't walk. Like Aeneas, he's the man who shows up in the first part of our passage. And friends, Aeneas here, he's a picture of who we Christians are called to serve. We're called to serve the lowly. Drawing friends, do you know somebody who can't walk? Because I know several. And maybe you know this from your own personal experience, but it is really hard to not be able to use your legs the way that God made you to use them, right? But even so, in our country, with a lot of the different helps that we've invented, you can live a really busy, rich, full life, right? That wasn't the case back in Aeneas' day and in Peter's day. See, if you couldn't use your legs, you were incredibly helpless. You couldn't take care of yourself. You couldn't provide for yourself. You, You were dependent on family and on friends, and often your very survival depended on being placed in public settings where you could beg for people to have pity on you. You were lowly. Most people didn't notice you. They didn't have time for you. So let me ask you, especially you drawing friends, put yourself in Aeneas' place. If you were Aeneas and that was what your life was like, imagine what it was like then to have suddenly somebody notice you, care about you, and then serve you the way that Peter served Aeneas. All right, listen. God did a miracle through Peter to give Aeneas back the use of his legs. So it's really unlikely. I don't want you kids to think, like, now you can go out and you can start doing miracles, right? It's highly unlikely you're actually going to be able to serve somebody that way. But that said, we are all still called to notice, to care, and to serve the lowly. And y'all, this has been part of the DNA of God's people from the very beginning, right? Just like Tabitha in our passage, Tabitha cared for the widows in her community. So talk about other people who were lowly. Because in Tabitha's day, women who lost their husbands, lost their primary means and often their only source of income and provision. To lose your man in a man's world generally meant you lost everything. Widows often lost everything. They were the needy. They were the powerless, the voiceless, the lowly, right? And Tabitha noticed. Tabitha cared. Tabitha served these widows, these lowly women. All right, so back in the ancient world, you know, we go to Walmart, you can get anything you want for, like, you can come away with a whole wardrobe for $100. This is not an advertisement for Walmart, by the way. Much as I love Walmart. But clothing was really expensive in the ancient world. Most people, they only had one set of clothing that they could rely on. And so here's Tabitha. She's making clothes and then giving them to these lowly women, these widows. And so this very likely Tabitha was probably a wealthier woman who maybe owned her own business as a seamstress. But she's using her gifts to serve the lowly. All right, here's the point, all of that. Here's the point. From the beginning, the Creator God Himself has called His people to mirror His own heart because He cares. He notices those who no one else notices. He cares about those that no one else cares about. And He serves those no one else will serve. Our God serves the lowly. If you've never read the laws in the Old Testament, I get that it can be a little thick, hard to work through, but do it, because you will come away from there noticing how many of God's laws that He gave to His people have to do with the importance of serving the lowly in their cities, those who are disadvantaged. In the Bible's world, the Bible talks a ton about widows. Widows are mentioned 97 times in the Bible. Talks about orphans 46 times. Talks about sojourners. In our day and age, those would be immigrants 73 times. Let me just ask the check-in question then. Friend, how do you think about the lowly? How do you, Christian, think about the lowly? Do you know who are the lowly, even, in those who are underserved, those who are needy within our community? See, caring for widows, caring for orphans and the unborn, caring for immigrants, caring for the homeless, y'all, that's just been part of the DNA of God's people from the very beginning. The underserved, the underprivileged, God's people have cared about them. Let me ask you, is that part of your DNA? Do you care about this? Or have we turned, which is so often what happens, have we turned the unborn, have we turned the immigrant into a political plank that we can use to bludgeon other people with? Friends, these are folks who still bear God's image, and they should be treated as such. So let me just put it bluntly, right? Let me just ask you. Things are complex politically. I get that. But do we use the political complexity of things as an excuse to ignore the lowly? Let me just ask you, what's your heart posture? How do you respond at a gut level toward the lowly? And does that reflect Peter's posture, Tabitha's posture, ultimately Jesus's posture? See, friends, we're called to serve the lowly. That's who we serve in our city. Because by serving them, we serve the Lord. That's who we really serve. What do you guys notice about verse 34, okay? Peter comes to Aeneas and he says to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Jesus himself. See, Peter, he was simply Jesus' ambassador. He showed up doing Jesus' work in Jesus' name through Jesus' power. Jesus was at work through Peter. So drawing, friends, to help us understand this, here's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for you to please draw the Ironworks Church logo. If you're like, what does that look like? Well, you can find it everywhere, but you can turn it over on your worship guides. You can trace that. That's the Ironworks Church logo. Here's why. When you put a logo, our logo, on something, you're being kind of like an ambassador for us, right? You are associating yourself with our church. So maybe you put your logo on your bike, maybe you put our logo on your water bottle, on your computer, whatever it is, right? You're associating yourself with our church, and then what you do will reflect on our church, which is why, please remind your parents, if they put the Ironworks Church logo on their car, drive like an Ironworks Church member. Which, by the way, if you look at my car, you'll notice I don't have the Ironworks Church logo. There is a very missional reason for that. Y'all, by serving Aeneas in Jesus' name, Peter was being Jesus' ambassador. He was being Jesus' ambassador. Christian, we are too. We are too. When we serve the lowly wearing Jesus' logo, wearing his name, carrying his name as his kids, as Christians, we show this world who our Lord is. A king who cares for cripples. The death-defeating Savior who is a champion of widows. The God who made himself lowly because he is gentle and lowly in heart. So in serving the city, we care especially for the lowly in our communities. And as we serve the lowly, we serve the Lord. So that's who we serve. Well, now how? How do we serve? And there are two ways I want to think about this. Well, actually, there are three, but I'm going to start with these two. First, we serve corporately as a church body, right? But then also we serve individually as individuals. So let's talk about corporately. How do we at Ironworks Church serve our community right now? Well, the primary way we do this is through the Phoenixville Refuge. So this is our ministry to the underserved here in Phoenixville, including the Guatemalan population. We do have a heavy Guatemalan community here in our area, as well as the elderly, who tend to get ignored a lot. And so one of the practical ways that you can serve and join us in serving as a church is during our market days. So we put on market days once a month, and we provide groceries and goods to those who need them. And our next market day is actually coming up this Saturday, October 11th. So if you want to know more about that and how you could meet different needs within the Phoenixville Refuge, talk to Keith, talk to Patrick Gallagher. If you don't know who Keith and Patrick are, you'll find them sitting right there. But if you don't know who they are, contact the church office. We'll gladly send you their contact information so you can get plugged in. All right. Another way, though, that we seek to serve corporately, y'all, get involved in a home group. Because we think our home groups are a way to get plugged in to mission in our local communities. So often our home groups will find ways to serve their neighbors. Some home groups might volunteer together to provide meals for a homeless shelter. Or home groups might pick a Saturday, for example, to serve together during our market day, or to do yard work for an elderly person within the community or the neighborhood. Y'all, we want our home groups to be these units that are easily mobilized in order to do mission. So just another plug, if you're not in a home group, we'd love to get you in one. But we don't just serve the city corporately as a church, right? We serve, I would love for each of us to serve individually, to be on mission personally, right? That's actually the model that we see in our passage today. Because Peter and Tabitha, they weren't carrying out some big church program, right? They were simply serving the Lord in the spaces that the Lord had placed them. So what about you? What about you? Are you on mission? Truthfully, this takes a mindset shift. And I get it, it's hard. We send broken human beings. We're so primed to think about me, to think about my needs, to think about what I'm getting out of the different communities that I'm in. But part of being a Christian is to have that natural sin-bent inward focus on us snapped outwards, to make us outward focused, like looking and seeing the Lord and then seeing others, right? Focusing on God and others. And so during our staff meeting today, Shana, who's our director of family ministries, I think she put it really well. She asked a question that I would love for all of us to be asking. She said, what's the problem that the gospel wants to interrupt here in Phoenixville? Do you ask questions like that where you're at? What is the problem that God wants to interrupt where he has you? Christian, you hear me say this all the time, but it's because I think we struggle to believe this. The Lord has you where he has you for a reason. Your Lord has shaped your gift sets and your abilities. He's placed you in the schools, in your neighborhoods, in the job places, in the family and friend and hobby groups that he has placed you in for a reason. He is on mission there. Are you? Are you on mission with him? So what's your gift set? Do you know? See, Tabitha's gift set, it was having money, and it was also making clothes. And she used those resources and those skills in such a way that she left a gaping hole behind until God, raised her up to fill that gaping hole again, right? But truthfully, y'all, I don't know that Tabitha would have thought a ton about her gift set or her skill set. I don't think she would have thought that was anything special. There were plenty of people in her day that made clothes. But she just used what she had to serve the lowly, to serve her Lord. And because of that, the Lord used her. You don't have to have an amazing skill set to be on mission with your Lord. So let me just challenge you. You can ask this question individually, but also, especially if you're in a home group this week, I'd love for you guys to think through this. Talk to the Lord about what gifts he's given you, what gifts he's given your home group even. Where does he have you also? And then ask him, Lord, how do you want to move? How do you want to move with what you have given me, where you have placed me? How do you want to move here? And y'all, he will show you. And that's where the adventure begins. Because, friend, that's the life that you were made for. This life that is broken away from that inward bent and focusing instead on God and focusing on others. All right. So how do we serve? We serve corporately and we serve individually as our own hearts are seeking to be on mission. But here's the third way that we seek to serve. How else do we serve? By imitating Jesus. We imitate Jesus in the way that we serve. So drawing, friends, for our third drawing, I would love for you to draw for me somebody that you like to imitate. Would you draw someone you like to imitate? For Summer, that would be Melody. Summer's my youngest, and she loves to follow her oldest sister around, copying her all the time. Melody would copy me, and Anna tells me if I were drawing who I was going to imitate, I'd have to draw a pirate. The things you find out after 10 years of marriage, right? Because apparently when I get super comfortable and goofy, I fall into pirate speak. I didn't know this about me, but now you do. Anyway. But Peter, he imitates somebody so much more worthy of imitation. He imitates Jesus. See, Luke, he's the doctor who wrote this book of Acts that we're talking about right now. So Luke, he is explicitly paralleling Peter's acts with Jesus' acts. So drawing friends, let me ask you, do you remember another time when Jesus tells a paralytic like Aeneas, rise, take up your bed, go home? Well, you can find that in the other book that Luke wrote, in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5. And I encourage you to write these down and check them out. Compare these two. Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Read that later. You'll see that these stories are intentionally very similar. Also, do you remember another time when Jesus ushered mourners out of a room so that he could raise a young girl from the dead? And he did it using these words, "little girl, arise," which in Aramaic, which is what Jesus spoke, was "talitha kumi." Peter, speaking Aramaic like Jesus did, would have said to Tabitha, "Tabitha kumi, talitha kumi." There's a difference of like one letter in that. You can read that account in Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. And in the section in Mark, Mark 5, 21 through 43 is actually where Mark uses the Aramaic phrase, talitha kumi. These parallels are intentional, and they're meant to communicate this. As Peter served, he was imitating Jesus. And look, again, it's highly doubtful you and I are ever going to imitate Jesus and Peter by raising somebody from the dead. But there are 1,000 other little ways that we get to imitate Jesus as we serve. Let me name just one, okay? Let's honor the dignity of those that we serve. See, when we serve the lowly, it is all too easy to make that service about us, about what we do, rather than honoring the person that we're seeking to serve, right? This person who's made in God's own image, it's taking people and turning them into projects rather than actually seeing them as people. But when Jesus and Peter, when they told the paralyzed men, "pick up your bed," you ever wonder about that? Why did they do that? Well, they were giving them dignity. It's as if they were saying, "this thing that you have been carried around on, this thing that has defined your dignity for years, you now have agency over it. You pick it up. This thing that's been carrying you, you carry it." Also, you ever wonder, why put everyone out of the room before raising Talitha and Tabitha? Why not show everybody? Everybody would have loved to see this, right? Why not show everybody this powerful display? Because it wasn't about using this as a display of power. It was about these poor ladies who were being raised. I mean, for one, right? Just imagine how disorienting it would have been for these young women to wake up into a room full of screaming people who are like, "oh my goodness," right? How hard would that be? And yet, instead, Peter, like Jesus before him, he honors the dignity of Tabitha. In the same way that Tabitha honored the dignity of the widows whose nakedness she helped clothe. Friends, as we serve the lowly, honor them, honor their dignity. Because again, no matter how lowly sin and life has made anybody, they are bearers of the image of a high and a holy God. And so we treat people that way. Don't treat them like projects. All right, so how do we serve? We serve corporately. We serve individually as those who are imitating our Jesus. And then finally, and very briefly, why do we serve? Why do we serve the city? You could probably give me a lot of good reasons. And I mean, there really are a ton, including things like, well, we do this for the good of the folks that we're serving. We do this for the good of the lowly. We do this to give people a whiff of the aroma of heaven, right? To give them a glimpse into the world that is to come when Jesus comes and restores everything to its intended purpose. But what's the end result of the miracles that we see in our passage here today? Look at verse 35. Tail end. All the residents of Luda and Sharon saw him, they turned to the Lord. Verse 42. And it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. You see, God used Peter's service to Aeneas and Tabitha, and then Tabitha's service to the widows before all of this. He used it for God's honor. For God's honor. To turn people away from their wanderings and back to himself. Y'all, Aeneas lived 8 years as a paralytic. Tabitha got sick and died. And all of that to set the stage for God's honor. as the Lord showed himself to be a powerful healer of shattered bodies, so that people who have shattered souls would come to him for healing. We serve for God's honor. So let me ask you then. What are you willing to lay down? What are you willing to lay down to see God honored as you serve the city? It can be really exciting, honestly. Like, if we do this well, it can be really exciting to dream about all the good that we could do for the city as we seek to serve it, right? It's fun to picture yourself like Peter. But what if you're not Peter in this story? What if you instead are Aeneas, living in a crippled, broken body for 8 years, yearning for wholeness? What if you're a Tabitha? Serving the city for God's honor means losing your life first, like countless Christians have throughout history. You see, to turn all of Luda and Sharon and Joppa to King Jesus for his honor, it took not just a miracle-working Peter, but a suffering Aeneas, a sick and a dying Tabitha. So what if God calls you to have your body broken for his honor, to serve the lowly? What if God calls you to die for his honor, to serve the lowly? What then? When those are the stakes, how do you say with Isaiah, right? Here I am, Lord. Send me to serve the city. How do you do that? It's because of the ultimate why, right? So drawing friends, you all know that why. Let's go ahead and put it in the picture. Would you draw for me a cross on a hill? Why do you serve, Christian? Even when it means your body may be broken, even when it means your life may be stuffed out, because King Jesus served this way for you. To God himself, the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy, who dwells on a high and a holy place, surrounded by unapproachable light. The God before whom angels hide their burning faces, the Lord of matchless might and peerless power, the Son of God himself, became lowly to serve the lowly. This King Jesus himself, he became a servant of servants to serve a city that rejected him. King Jesus himself gave his body to be broken for me, for you, so that our bodies, so that our souls might be made whole again one day. King Jesus himself, he gave his life for me and for you, so that death would no longer have dominion over us, but he would. King Jesus himself, he gave his life for a city that rejected him, for me and for you, in order to guarantee for us acceptance into his eternal city, where death and brokenness and tears are no more. King Jesus, he gave up his wholeness, his dignity, his honor, in order to bring wholeness to the shattered, to bring dignity to the despised, to bring honor to the lowly, to me, to you. Friend, King Jesus, he did this for you. He did this for me. And when we come to understand this, and I mean really understand this, get this in our hearts, then Christian, you know what? There will be no stopping you. Because you will want everyone to know how worthy your Savior and your King is. You will be on his mission, fueled by a desire and a passion for him, a love for him, because of what he has done. You will give your life, even your very life, to serve the lowly in the city, so that King Jesus might be honored, so that others might know him. And you'll do it because he first gave his life for you. Now it's just a part of your DNA. Would you join me in prayer? Father God in heaven, who are we that we would be on mission with you? You've not only rescued and saved us, we who are lowly, powerless, broken. You have mended us and made us whole. We're not there yet, but you are working on us. But then you call us on your mission. You could get all of this done so much faster if it weren't for us. But that's not what you're looking for. You're not seeking efficiency. You want us on your mission. Because through us, Lord, you choose to gain glory. Father, I pray for my sisters and my brothers in this room. I confess before you how hard it is for me to get outside of my own selfish, self-centered tendencies. And I know for so many of us here, we are right there. Our own lives have just consumed us. Father, forgive us. Would you turn us out from this inward focus that we have and let us see you, Lord Jesus. Let us be enamored with you and what you have done, and from that, move us out on your mission that we might lift high the name of our Savior Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask these things, seeking your power to do them, that we might honor Christ right where he has us with the gifts that you have given us. We ask this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.